can kind of tell by the scripture, we're going to talk about the living water. Scripture for today is John chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. If you feel like standing, you may. If not, that's okay too. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up for eternal life." "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, for your word, and to be able to be in your house, Lord, to learn. Anoint my words, Lord, that they are yours, and that what comes out is what you're wanting to be heard. We ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. You imagine living water. Never thirst. I have a cold. I'm very thirsty. I can't seem to get enough liquid. I have trouble imagining that, you know, what she was thinking, that, you know, the water that she had been receiving from the well, you know, have water that won't make you thirsty anymore would be very highly desired. But the thirst that he's talking about is the desire for God. And when you get a thirst for God, it can't be quenched other than by God. And I remember hearing a story, some from my dad and later from my mom, of how my dad came to know Jesus. And my mom described it as they were at a camp meeting. Back then, they had a lot of tent meetings, you know, outside. They had a camp meeting, and my mom didn't know my dad was even there. She had gone in with her mom and dad and was sitting in the service. They gave the altar call, and my dad ran to the front. He didn't walk fast. He literally ran and threw himself down on the platform before God. And he had that thirst that just could not be quenched other than by meeting Jesus. And I thank the Lord a lot of times because he did it. Because I got to grow up with a Christian father. Up to that point, he drank, he caroused, he gambled, he smoked, he swore a lot, and had a very nasty temper, as my brother has told me. So a lot of things changed when he met Jesus. He literally no longer drank, no longer smoked, and he cleaned up his mouth like overnight. I mean, he left it all at the altar when he left there. My mom said that he laid at the altar crying and laughing for a really long time as he talked to Jesus. So that is the thirst. And then 1 Peter, first three verses of chapter 2, says, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow up into your salvation." So when you first get saved and you start out, it's like a little baby. You know, you read the word and you're learning a little bit, but you don't really understand a lot of what you're reading. But you've quenched that thirst, but yet as you're reading, it grows, and you get a desire that you can't get enough of God's word. And it ends up that you're reading it, you're trying to understand it, and like Diane could tell you in our Bible study that we had, you know, every week was a little more. And she would ask more questions and she would read more. And we'd try to answer those questions. And the next week she had more questions. And, you know, that's how you grow in the Lord. It's like a child that they have the milk, but after a while it's not enough. You've got to get into the heart of God. You have to study it. You have to learn it to get the meat of it. And just like a child, you know, you don't have teeth as a baby, so you can't have anything that's hard. And so then as your teeth come in, then your desires for different foods come in, and you start eating harder stuff, and you start eating more stuff and that, till you're starting to eat like an adult does. So that's kind of some of it. John, still looking at John chapter 4, go to verses 27 and through 34. "Just then his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said, 'I have food to eat that you don't know about.' And the disciples said to one another, 'Could someone have brought him something to eat? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work,' Jesus told them." So, you know, sometimes we're not really needing to eat food that satisfies the stomach. Sometimes we need to just do what God wants us to do. Read his word and grow and build on it. The Samaritan woman, it was kind of interesting, I thought, with her, and that she, you know, she was real skeptical of Jesus to begin with, that he was a Jew talking to her. Samaritans were considered a very unclean people. You know, they were rejected by the Jews. They were, the way I understood it, they were Jewish, but they were from a different section, and they were rejected by the Jews. So any Jew that had any contact with the Samaritan was considered, you know, that's really a bad thing to do. So it's kind of surprising that the disciples didn't say anything to Jesus, but I would say they must have thought better of it before they opened their mouth. Like some of us don't, you know, we don't pay attention. But the Samaritans in verses 39 through 42 says, "Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world.'" So, you know, they were hungry, they were thirsty, they were ready to accept. And I think that's some of it too, is, you know, when you're talking to someone, we have no idea how ready they are to receive the word. But I think it's you know, it's part of our job, as what we read in that is, it's part of our job to bring it to people of what Jesus did, you know. Just like what Diane was reading with Paul, you know, he gave his testimony. That was what he did, told of how he met Jesus. And basically that's what the Samaritan woman did. Said, "I met this man. He told me everything about me. You know, you got to come and check him out," you know. So that's all we got to do, is tell people about our experience. Reading the word, praying, spending time with God. And I'm kind of getting smacked upside the head for this one, as well as anybody else, because I've gotten so busy with working and other things that God hasn't been getting the spot that he's supposed to have, and the Lord has explained that to me without any question. But I'd like to challenge you, as you go about every day for the rest of this year, to read the word, study it, learn from it, and see, come December, and that, to discuss it, and I'll tell you and you tell me how you've grown in these months of doing that. Because I think that if we really get into God's word and really read it and study it, he's going to change us. He's going to make us be more like what he's wanting us to be, each and every one of us. And I know I want to grow in Christ. I want to be able to know his word a lot better than I do. So I challenge you to do this with me, to take, you know, I don't know, yeah, everybody is different on how they read, you know, take a few chapters a day, or, you know, however you want to do it, but read and study God's word and see where it leads you and how God will change us. Taste the living water. Grow from the milk to the meat by the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have said and done. And we ask, Lord, that you help us into achieving what you want us to do in reading your word and to grow in you. Help us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.